Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And wouldn't you on this September 21st, Thursday?
That's right. Right? Beautiful day here in Southern California.
It is. You know what I'm hoping is that we get some rain.
Actually. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Nice rain. Kind of welcome us. This is the last week of summer. So
that's right.
Welcome us into fall. And I love the rain. I'm more productive in the rain.
Are you?
I think so.
Wow. I hate to drive in the rain right now. I tell you, it's been crazy.
That's a whole other thing.
I tend to lock my doors and stay at home and just watch the rain rather than get out in it anymore. I used to love it when I was a kid. My kids wear galoshes out. They have a good time. But I'm like, I'm an old man now. I say, no, I'm just going to stay inside and enjoy the rain from my window pane. You know, so never works out well for my kids. They always want to go out and play.
God bless them. How are they, by the way?
They're doing great. They're having a really good time. Happy and healthy back at school. My kids are back at school, and they're having such a good time. But today is a day off of school. So they didn't have to go into school today. They were going crazy this morning, having a great time.
Why is that?
So,
I know this is the Jewish holiday.
They tend to parallel school.
Rosh Hashanah, I think.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
That is correct.
I believe they tend to parallel school holidays with those when they can, so they can give kids a day off without having to address the holiday. But either way, my kids, you know, they woke up, got themselves ready to school, ran and said, Daddy, we're ready for school. And I said, you don't have to go today. And they're like, oh, my goodness. So they had lots of energy. How your puppies doing?
They are good. Thank you
Happy
for asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little puzzled as to why we're not taking our walks and
right.
You know, things that I cannot do at the moment, but hopefully that'll change within the next month.
But on the upside of this, you got a snazzy little accessory with you now, don't you?
Snazzy, yes.
In my days as a fight choreographer, I've accumulated quite a few 1800s defense canes with the sword inside. If you want me to hook you up, I can maybe do that. You can carry around one of those canes that has a blade inside of it.
I'm trying not to draw attention to myself.
Yes, but if you ever get attacked by Doctor Who or something like that, you know, you might be in good shape.
That's a whole other story. You're right.
Well, Michael, like you said, here it is on September 21st, and we do have a big show today, don't we?
Yes, we do. We do indeed. We have Wendy Hammers and Ross Gentle, and they are joining us from the Australian Theatre Company to discuss their world premiere production of Grey Nomad.
That's right.
On stage now through October 8th.
Yeah. Welcome both. Welcome both. Good to see you guys. How you doing?
Well, thanks, Andrew and Michael. Lovely to be here.
Thanks nice
for the applause.
To have you here.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
I want a copy of that and just carry it around.
Right? I want that in my pocket just all the time. Now, did you notice Wendy's faking an American accent for us here from the Australian Theatre Company? Isn't it amazing? It's almost flawless.
Well, you know
flawless.
What? I watched some video of you performing. And I did not hear an Australian accent whatsoever.
You wouldn't. I am an American. I am the lowly American who snuck into the Australian Theater Company and proud of it, hanging out with the cool kids. So very fortunate.
Can you affect an Australian accent?
Not
even.
After working with this wonderful cast for a month, I do have fun practicing. Basically, this is the image that came to me after working with them about the accent. Uh-huh. I got this image one day that somewhere there's a cemetery full of the letter R. All the R's that are not being used by the Australians. Because, like, for example, you know the place where you drink alcohol?
Yeah.
The bar.
Yeah.
Like the same as the...
Maybe they go to all the people who roll their R's.
Yeah, they go to the Ireland.
That's right.
But yeah, no R's available, but their accent's fantastic, but I leave it to the professionals right now. You're going to hear from a real Australian in a moment.
I love
she talks cool, not like we talk from New York.
A good friend of mine is one of your producers, Nick Hardcastle.
Yeah, love him.
And from Australia,
right.
A television star in his own right,
right,
down in that country, and has been here for a few years.
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah, he's dynamite.
A lovely, lovely man, and some other people over there, and Lucy Pollock, your publicist, is such is like the greatest.
Yes,
so
she's wonderful.
We love Lucy.
Right.
We love
her. Always great press releases and always helps a ton to read that info. Now, Michael, didn't you at one point have your Siri settings changed to the Australian accent?
I did.
Are you going to get distracted listening to our guest today?
I still do. I do.
You've always had an affinity for that, right?
Yeah. Which is why I think that Siri is not with it with me, because
really?
I'm not speaking in that accent.
She doesn't understand what you're saying.
Is that true? Is that possible?
Absolutely. No, I'm sure that's it.
Come on, darling. You know, well. That's
get with the program over there.
It's funny you should mention that. We actually have a joke about Siri in our play.
Wow.
We do, yeah. Yes, two of our characters have a major discussion about Siri's whereabouts and who is she and what she's doing.
Well, it's about old people who are just getting their first smartphone, really.
Yeah. Right.
So they're having a little difficulty with
I believe Siri's going to change her voice soon. I heard that they're switching the person who does Siri.
And she doesn't need to change her voice. She needs to change her
accuracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got me in trouble a time or two.
It's cuckoo, right?
It is. No
you know,
doubt about
speaking
it.
Of that, we're getting off script here a little bit.
It's okay. We're irreverent. We're cool. We're laid back.
We are. We're happening.
Did you watch the Emmy Awards?
I did.
Did you go to the Emmys?
I did not go
you
this year.
Go
I watched
year.
Them.
Okay.
I watched them.
Did you see them?
I saw it after we were performing.
You did. Okay.
So she had work to do.
That's, speaking of Siri, they did a skit, Stephen Colbert, with Rube Hall as who was Emmy. Did you
no,
see
that? No,
that's
I have to go back and see it. No, that
it
sounds
was
fabulous.
Just awful.
Oh, it was?
Awful.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was wonderful. Oh.
No, you know what? And I like Stephen Colbert, but I've only... Yeah, I have not always liked him. I thought at first, what? I just didn't get his sense of humor, and then now I like him.
Yeah,
because he's very outspoken and he doesn't care.
Right, exactly.
And he does it in a very cool way.
Yeah,
it's not offensive.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about him. But this little whoever the writers came up with and had to do this, which was kind of cool at the beginning, it was cool because RuPaul was a live Emmy holding up that.
Yeah.
Globe.
Oh, yes,
the
I
effects were
remember.
Great. Remember the effects
that?
Were very
it
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
But I digress. All right, so here we are. Back to
Well, now, obviously, and before we get rolling too much, we should go pay some bills, yeah?
I think we
Would
should.
Would you both be so kind as to hang around with us while we pay a few of our bills here at the studio?
We'll be right ahead.
Let's
thank
go
you,
ahead.
Ladies,
we'd
like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. Well, now, as we said at the top of the show, Michael, we have some great theater and exciting guests to discuss with today. But before we do that, I want to know, how was your week? Did you get to see any theater?
You know, I did not. It's been a little difficult, and I'm kind of depressed about having to turn down.
Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of invitations to go, which is part of our job, to go out and see theater.
Right.
I am going Saturday, this coming Saturday.
Excellent. What are you going to see?
I am seeing a rarely done musical by the Musical Theater Guild.
Excellent.
Sugar.
Oh, what a great
which
thing.
Is based on the movie Some Like It Hot.
That's right.
And it's a very unique way of presenting it. They have 25 hours to rehearse, and they have their scripts in hand. They have an orchestra, and they go.
That's right.
And, so fun.
It is fun. It's very fun.
Two great friends of the show are starring in that, I believe,
exactly.
as well. Yeah,
exactly.
Zach Ford.
And Melissa Fine.
Of course.
So that's what I'll be doing this weekend. But I did miss Scarlet Letter, which was this past Sunday.
Which looked fantastic.
Yes, I heard about it, and the score is supposed to be amazing.
Right.
And I think it's in a workshop stage, so if you know that famous story. And it's trying to become a musical.
Yeah. Well, and Mark Ginsberg, of course, has something going up this weekend as well.
He does, a little night music.
That's right. A lot of night music. A good amount. A fair amount of night music is going on, I believe, at the Colony Theater. Is that correct?
At the Colony.
That's
and
right.
With the lovely Carly Bracco, co-starring opposite Mark. Yeah.
Should be good. Should be a lot of fun. Well, Michael, shall we go ahead and dive into the meat of the show today? Our first guest loves to act and act up. Here's some damage that she's done so far. She confused Tony on The Sopranos and annoyed Larry on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
She pissed off Bernie on The Bernie Mac Show and murdered her lesbian girlfriend, played by Kathy Griffin, who else, in the Roger Corman slasher pick The Unborn.
As a comic, she has teased Oprah Winfrey in the daytime and made Craig Ferguson laugh at night. She appeared on VH1, MTV, NBC, CBS, A&E, and all of the other letters you can imagine. In stand-up, she performs regularly in Los Angeles, Atlantic City, Tahoe, and Vegas.
As an actress, she has two solo shows that she tours around the country, her award-winning play Undressing New Jersey and Other States of Mind in Kauai?
Kauai. That's true.
Oh, Kauai and Ripe, which the Los Angeles Times called a verbally powerful romp. You said something on a video, a piece that I watched you on, where you said, my badge says Kauai.
I don't know what that is.
I think you did.
If you say so. Okay.
I was trying to...
Yes, and exercise at improper the groundlings. They taught me. Say, yes, that's true. Exactly. No idea what you're talking about.
Well, beyond that, not only she has also been a producer, and she has created... Now, I want to get this right here. The Hungry and Horny Show. Was it written about my days at high school, or was it
yes,
just...
Yes, okay, it's a documentary. Right. It's an expose on your life, Andrew.
The original... No, this can't be right. The original vagina monologue style show about the various hungers of women.
Yes.
My goodness. Okay. And I
created that show for people who were hungry or horny or both. So you know any of those people, please send them our way.
And I'm not in it though. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Starring Lori Allen, who you guys might know, wonderful, was in Reefer Madness here in town. Wonderful music.
Wow.
And a woman named Marianne Curran, who now has her own morning radio show.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
Sweet.
Well, not only that, but she is the creator and host of the monthly live spoken word show at the Santa Monica, what theater in Santa Monica?
The Moss.
The Moss, okay. Called Tasty Words.
Love the title. Wow. Yeah. Where's the Moss?
Yeah. That is on Olympic in West Los Angeles, Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Olympic and Bundy at a 330-seat, state-of-the-art, beautiful facility.
On campus.
School.
That's
yes.
Right. I remember that now.
Yeah, that was the most spectacular introduction. I think we're out of time, though, unfortunately. Most things
I've got. I got tired just reading it. My goodness.
We're not even done.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You can see her on stage now in the Australian Theatre Company's production of Dan Lee's Grey Nomad.
Yes.
And we are privileged to have her with us here today.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the enthrallingly entertaining Wendy Hammers.
There you go.
I was so hoping you were going to do the applause again.
Nope.
Oh, my work is
Look,
done here.
I don't control these kind of things, okay? The people go crazy when they go crazy, Wendy. I don't have anything to do with it.
They're very short,
these people. Where are they? Under the desk?
Well, we won't go into that.
When I first checked out, I was reading up on all your stuff last night, and I wasn't, we've of course heard of the Australian Theatre Company that does such great work, but I wasn't familiar with your work, and so I started Googling you and finding some video, and I thought, that woman does the best American accent I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know there were non-Australians.
I thought so too.
She was really talented.
Meantime, so it's authentic. So funny how people keep telling me that I'm doing such a great job playing an obnoxious American. I'm like, okay, that wasn't a choice. I don't know what you're talking about.
Me.
Just being me. Yeah, it's really sad. Like, oh, it's such a great bold choice. She's so loud. I'm like, what? That's me. Okay.
Well, Wendy, you've obviously had an amazing career, both. I mean, in every venue, you've worked on stage, film, and television. But your heart seems like the heart of a stand-up comedian. Would you say that's true?
I would say that my heart is connecting with an audience, and so stand-up is a direct line to doing that.
Wonderful.
In this play, Grey Nomad, though, I really do get to not only be interacting and be an ensemble piece with these other fantastic actors, but also that I have a moment where my character is sort of unraveling, and she starts to just talk directly to the audience as if she were stand-up.
Wow.
Even though she's a real estate mogul.
Wow.
Turned glamper.
Glamper. I just learned that term recently. Glamping. I had no idea what glamping was.
Well, Wendy, have you ever been to Australia?
No.
Not even.
Only in my mind.
Field trip.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because there is a raffle right now where you can win a fantastic trip to Australia, and it's a fundraiser for the company.
Wow.
And it includes the camel. You get to hang out with the camels.
Wow.
So I want to go.
Michael might never come back with all those accents over there. He might just hang around. And Siri would finally work for him, so he could find his way around. He'd be in good shape. So.
You know, that's a long haul from here to there.
You've done it, of course, a number of times. Did you do it
a number of times,
on tour?
Twice.
Was
yes.
it on tour? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country, and I was there so long ago. Mm. But you know, it has the feeling of being in America. I mean, certainly the people are very welcoming, and those accents and the beautiful people that they are too. The beautiful men, women, they're all beautiful.
Yeah.
And on top of it, that accent. So
I agree. And I'm not saying that just because I currently am working with a whole posse of them.
Oh,
they really
sure.
are lovely. Well, the joke around the company is that ATC, instead of just standing for Australian Theatre Company, stands for Attractive Theatre Company. Because they're all so damn handsome. You know who you are. Nate Jones, Nick Hardcastle, Josh Thurbon, and the beautiful Jackie Diamond. Let's not forget. Oh, another token American. Jackie Diamond, one of the founding members, is also an American.
Wow.
Snuck in with the Aussies as well.
Oh, yeah. We did not know. that. And Nate Jones is a lovely guy, too. Oh. You just mentioned that.
Nate Jones, yeah, he's dumb.
Nate has been on this show with Nick. They did it a couple of years ago. When it first started, it was new to Los Angeles, and it was the introductory show. And it
Holding
was,
the man.
Yes. Yeah. What a great, great evening that was. Very intense. So, yes.
This is not intense.
So,
this is fun, wild ride.
It's wet T-shirts. How could it be?
It's wet T-shirts. And one of the great images that our playwright, the wonderful Dan Lee, said, his vision of this play is the RVs, the caravans that these people are traveling in, as if it had gotten loose, if the caravan had gone loose. That's what he wanted the whole play to feel campy and fun, and as if the caravan had just broken loose. And so that's part of it. And then, yet, at the same time, wouldn't you say, Roz, the piece has a lot of heart.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of
pathos, even in moments.
Yeah, and lots to say about sort of the third act of our lives and where we're going and what really matters at the end of the day and all of that.
We should take a moment then, now that we've mentioned wet T-shirts, as my soundboard is about to light up with phone calls from people asking how they can get tickets. We should tell them what this is about and what the kind of thesis of the show is. Could you give us a quick glimpse of that, Wendy?
Yeah, of course. Grey Nomad is a four-character, or four-hander, as they say in the business, a beautiful play about two couples that probably would not have met under normal circumstances, a couple in their mid-50s and a couple in their mid-60s, all retired, and traveling the perimeter of the Australian coastline as they are retired and sort of away from their obligations of life and their kids and wanting very much to embrace and cherish and relish and take a bite out of the last chapter of their lives.
Wow.
And it's... this couple that's sort of freewheeling, groovy, hippy-dippy, you know, let your hair down and, you know...
Much like Michael.
Bra,
right?
Exactly like Michael. Well, Michael clearly doesn't need a bra, but, you know, sort of let it all go. And then they have come along with a couple that's a little bit more buttoned up, shall we say.
Wow.
And all of these people... You know, I don't know, I'm sure you guys know the wonderful actor Stephen Tobolowsky. Do you know he's a character actor? He's been in a million things.
Sure, sure.
You'd recognize his face.
Probably,
and
yeah.
24 and Glee and Mississippi Burning and on and on. Anyhow, he came the other night to the show. He's a dear friend of mine. And he said what he loved about the play was all four of these characters are teachers. You would at least not expecting them to come through with knowledge and wisdom and ahas, especially my character, who's this sort of wild, wild hair. Mm. And she actually ends up teaching the more buttoned up people a lesson or two. So
that's great. Well, and this is a thing, correct? People do this tour around the Australian coast, and you said that the author, Mr. Lee, had traveled there and actually interviewed people who were doing this at the time. Is that correct?
Yeah, and when you speak with Roz, she can tell you even more about that because she's been there. I have not been to Australia, but yes, it is their version of the snowbirds, from what I understand.
Sure.
But yes, they have these caravans. They drive around the edge of the country, and they park, and they hang out, and they meet people along the way. And sometimes you drive 400 miles or 8,000 miles, and you run into somebody that you saw way back. And,
my goodness.
Another city, and this becomes your new community.
Wow. Wow.
Like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
You got
similar,
it.
Sure.
Exactly.
Right?
Similar territory, actual geographical territory where that takes place are places that we're covering in our play.
Wild.
Yeah.
Is it? Would it be the Outback or parts of it? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, you know where this is. It's a guest production at the Skylight Theater.
Which is
in
a great
Hollywood.
Space. Yeah.
And as we're talking, Dan Lee has written this. It's a world premiere here, so it's never been done before, which is kind of really cool. Directed by Lane Sinclair.
Ian.
Oh.
Ian with an extra I
go.
For no apparent reason. The Australians, they're just buying vowels for all of
them. Well, they lost all their R's.
Exactly.
They've got to. Got to
get the extra I's in there.
Well, the font actually looks like a small L.
I agree.
Ain't my fault.
No.
And presented as we're talking about the Australian Theatre Company. Performances actually are in progress. They start opened on September 11th. They play through October 8th. Mondays at 8 p.m. and Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. as well. Sundays at 6 p.m.
You got it.
And if you go to their website, which is AustralianTheatreCompany.org.
Theatre spelled R-E.
Yes. The correct
way.
Yes.
And by the way, there is an R in that, in that word. The few places they actually use an R.
The affected way. That's what they say. Yes, Australian Theatre Company with an R-E at the end of theatre. .org, though. That's important. And you can get more information. You can get your tickets there. Tickets are ridiculously inexpensive and very appropriately priced for a vehicle like this.
And not only that, they're doing a special this weekend called Date Night.
Oh, yes.
Which offers up a pair of tickets for $30 and includes a complimentary glass of champagne for you and your date.
Wow.
And if you don't have a date for that price, go find one.
Right.
It's a good deal.
I thought you were going to go and they were going to give you a free date.
Well.
My wife doesn't let me see shows like that anymore. She gets very upset.
I do. I'll talk to her about
that. That's
actually
fantastic.
I think
wow,
even our listeners have a special... Don't they? Did you knew that?
I did not know that.
Oh,
tell me about it.
No. It's a very special. We'll wait. And,
we'll announce that here in a little bit. Of course, you can also call if you're looking for tickets. You can call 866-811-4111. And again, that's the Australian Theatre Company. If you're looking to check them out on social media, Facebook, it's Aussie Theatre Co. And of course, you can check out on Instagram, Aussie Theatre Co. as well. That's a great chance for you to find out about a company that Michael and I have been aware of for a little while that really does some exciting and fun work. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic group.
And producing at a level that really is much more established and sophisticated than much small theater in Los Angeles. All of us obviously see a ton of theater and do a ton of theater here. But they're using, the top people that produce at all the finest theaters in Los Angeles are our scene designer and our lighting designer and, between Kate Berg, our costume designer, and CEO, and Jared Say, all these incredible people that have just, fortunate enough to bring their goods to our production.
And lots of talent. Yeah.
Until it was actually announced here in Los Angeles, I didn't realize that there was such a large community of Australians living here.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Australian mafia. They're everywhere.
Is it in a particular location?
Actually. That would be the most laid-back mafia ever.
Really?
I don't know. Let's go have a beer.
You don't come across them very often. In just the everyday world.
So there's a lot of us.
I'm thinking there's
100,000 in Los Angeles? 100,000?
Wow.
There's hundreds of thousands. It's when I say that, I can't remember the figure now, but it was somewhere around the 200,000 in California market.
Oh, really?
Wow.
California being the most native-like of Australia, I would say, right?
Really?
Wow. Climate-wise.
I've never been to Australia. Yes, dying definitely. To go sometime. Wow.
Well, you can go. A very cheap ticket to go is by coming to see our play.
That's right. Well done, Mike. I need a segue sound effect. That was awesomely well done. The show we're talking about is Grey Nomad, and of course, this is going on right now, currently running. A really great piece of theater. We should talk a little more about some other great shows going on here in Los Angeles as well. Wendy, will you hang around with us?
Yes.
Raj, you too?
Absolutely.
Great. We'll come right back and do that after our live arts calendar.
Yes.
Now, obviously, Grey Nomad is going up now, but coming soon to the Chance Theater in Anaheim, author Nina Rain tells the beautiful story of finding the place that you belong in Tribes, her play about a boy born deaf who has been ostracized by his family and discovers he's not alone.
And, Andrew, what page are you on?
We'll go to page 6.
There we go.
Okay. Billy, the only deaf child in the family that could hear, was raised inside the family's fiercely idiosyncratic and politically incorrect cocoon. Though his family attempts to raise him like a normal child, training him to read lips instead of learning sign language, Billy adapts brilliantly to his family's unconventional ways without truly feeling what it's like to be heard.
It's not only until Billy meets Sylvia, a young woman on the brink of deafness, that he is finally introduced to the deaf community that his family sheltered him from his entire life. As Billy tries to find his identity amongst his true family, his interactions with the deaf community reveal that they are the ones who truly understand how important it is for him to be understood.
That's right. Tribes runs from September 21st through October 22nd at the Chance Theater in Anaheim. For tickets or more information, you can call 888-455-4212 or visit chancetheater.com.
And I must say, I want to just give a little shout out to 3D Theatricals,
yes,
who is getting ready to open Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein.
A very serious show. Show that is about a man who is horribly deformed, and you have to go and learn about it. This is one of the funniest shows in existence right now. I've seen it 3 times, and this show you cannot... And a great cast, too. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes, indeed.
Really
amazing.
We
open on the 5th of October, which is a preview, and October 6th, Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Then we take it to the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts.
That's right.
In Cerritos. And if you've never seen one of these types of shows, we just had Spamalot. When I say we, I represent the company for publicity, public relations, and they are a young company here in California, which they are in their 9th season. It is called 3D Theatricals, the 3 D's being three Dawsons, and the Dawsons are siblings whose family said to them when they came into a certain age, what do you want to do? And they, because they were all performers, and they said, well, we want to continue performing, but we want to present and produce Broadway caliber theater in Southern California.
That's right.
Okay.
And they said, done.
Yeah.
So it's a family venture, and believe me, they are right up there with whatever comes through the Amundsen or the Pantages. I mean, it's an amazing experience to go see these shows there.
And two different venues that they perform at, really reaching out to a lot of communities.
Yes, indeed.
So that's right.
The beach community there and the beautiful Cerritos Center for Performing Arts. And the show runs through the October 29th.
Fantastic.
So if you have a chance, go see Mel Brooks, very funny man. Young Frankenstein.
That's right. Yeah. 3D theatricals are great.
Before we get into our next interview, I did want to ask Wendy just a quick question. When did you know that you were funny?
Wow, that's a great question. And of course, you'd think I have a very smart answer available on the tip of my tongue. I think I knew that I felt okay. Well, here's what I know. Many, many, many years ago, when I was a little girl, I went to see a theater company in Manhattan called the Paper Bag Players. They were a fantastic children's theater company.
Wow.
And while I was watching them, I thought, I think the view is probably more interesting from the stage than from the audience. Snuck backstage after the show, stuck my head out and looked around. Yeah, I could do this. And I always liked being, well, my mother would say the first time I knew I was funny was when I was in my baby carriage and she was pushing me around Central Park in Manhattan and all the other babies were sleeping peacefully. And I was like running for mayor. I was like, hi, how you doing? I'm sticking my head up talking, working the room, you know, with my diapers. So probably from the beginning. But I always thought of myself as an actor first and then stand up as my day job. Just happen to be at night with drunk people. You know, it's just that's how it worked out for me. So.
Again, sounds a lot like my life, but without the gigs in between. So,
just right. Annoying people in your house.
Wendy, I tell you that what a fantastic thing! And obviously, you've stretched across so many different kinds of performance. It must be a thrill to do a play like this. We've seen this format work of two couples and Gods of God of Carnage and stuff like that, to where it really does give you an introspection into some really unique points of view in life. So,
it is a delight to be working with these actors doing this production at this time. I feel very, very lucky and fortunate, and I'm excited for everybody who gets to take this little jaunt with us. It's a really fun ride.
One good thing leads to another. So
that's right. And speaking of leading to another, our next guest has more than 35 years of experience in the performing arts, including coaching, producing, directing in Australia. She also worked prominently in television, appearing in such shows as Neighbors, Home and Away, GP, Mother and Son, A Country Practice, Land of Hope, Carson's Law, and most notably as a multiple personality in Prisoner.
And, you know what, I you left something out there. This is why I'm getting off the script.
Let's hear it.
Where are we?
Top of page 8.
Top of page 8. That's why I'm, that's why I'm asking the questions. In the United States, where she has lived for the past 20 years, she recently appeared in a recurring role in American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Other TV credits include HBO's Hello Ladies, Agent X, Santa Sent Me to the ER, Tabloid, LAX, Outrageous 9/11 Calls, boy oh boy, Tattoo Nightmares, and more.
Her film credits include Suing the Devil, Remember When, Sienna's Choice, The Method, Discarded, and award-winning Australian film Winning Formula.
She was also part of the Loop Troupe for Saving Mr. Banks. What a wonderful film that was. She will be seen next year in the Australian miniseries remake of Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Her theater credits include The Sum of Us, Big River, Wizard of Oz, All Is Well That Ends Well, Othello, Bittersweet, The Seagull, Escape from Happiness, and The Arab-Israeli Cookbook, as well as four one-woman shows, The Bridal Suite, Face of an Angel, The Lady Chapel, and Still Life.
She has also been teaching actors for the past 30 years and is currently an instructor at the New York Film Academy in Los Angeles. We're so happy to have her with us here today to talk about her fascinating career as well as her current co-starring role in Grey Nomad. Let's give a warm welcome to the very beautiful and talented Ross Gentle.
I wanted to give a very gentle applause. What a fantastic body of work you have. My goodness. And when did you come over here from Australia?
Say something about the age, doesn't it?
Well, you started when you were two, of course, as
of
we
course
know.
I did.
Tell me, when did you come here from Australia and what was your first gig over here?
Ah, my first, I first came here 22 years ago. Now, what was my first gig? I know my first television gig was actually a presenter for Precious Metals, Monex.
Oh, wow.
Precious Metals, wow. Which I did for 14 years, was their spokesperson. But the first real gig, gosh, isn't that, I can't even think of what it was. Mm-hmm. I can't think.
Either way, the journey has taken you to a pretty amazing group of people. What's it like to work with the Australian Theatre Company?
Well, I've known them sort of pretty much since they started. In fact, before they started, I knew Nate, particularly Nate Jones, and they're just a fantastic group of people. They really are the most genuine, sort of hardworking, like just the loveliest people.
Except for Michael and I, right? Michael and I are a little more genuine and hardworking.
Well, that's true. I was
said all over
say,
Los Angeles.
I think you two should join us,
really,
because
you're part
of
the community.
I tell you, and this does, what fun shows. Now, this is a world premiere production, correct?
Yeah, wow. We think it might be a first, but we don't know. There may have been one on Broadway. So we have to find that out before I say that. But to us, it's a first.
Wow.
Premiering your show outside of a country.
Amazing.
Outside of Australia. Yes.
So what brought you here? Why did you decide to move to America?
She was being chased by the police at the time. She hopped a boat.
The short answer to that is karma.
Good or bad karma?
Oh, always good.
Good.
No, I mean, this is a very long story, so I'll just give you the short version. I was in a mode of saving the planet, and I thought, well, I still am. I'm always in that mode. But I thought, well, my business is the entertainment business. I might as well be in the heart of it to change it. So that's what drove me here.
And what aspect were you looking at?
I've been finding that a little more difficult than it sounded from Australia.
Lofty ambitions, those Australians.
What aspect specifically were you interested in changing when you came?
I think at that point in time I was into changing consciousness, which I still am, but now I'm more into active sort of, you know, lobbying, using your democratic right as a civilian.
Interesting.
Getting more into it that way right now. Mm. But at that time it was about shifting. So I came here to run workshops and things in Hollywood.
Wonderful.
So,
would you like to go to Washington and have your say there?
I have.
Apparently anyone can, so.
I have been. I've lobbied in Washington.
And so. When were you there last?
When was it? July last year.
My goodness.
Last year.
Wow.
Last year.
Now, with this show is based around, as we said, an actual event that Mr. Lee went and discovered and talked about, which is where people tour from one part of the country to the other across the coast.
He was in Broome, doing his stand-up stuff, and that's where he also met his wife, I believe, Missy Higgins.
Okay. A well-known performer as well.
Well-known, very well-known performer over there. And then I'm not quite sure of the whole story, so I may get this wrong because I've only picked it up in snippets too, but I do know that he stayed there for several months interviewing all the grey nomads as they pass by. But Broome is one of the places that they travel through a lot.
And they're all in RVs for the most part, correct?
They're all in RVs.
And they just kind of caravan and then
they
go out on their own.
They just caravan around Australia.
Always along the coast?
Yes.
Wow.
To my knowledge, anyway.
Right.
I mean, that seems to be the road that they all take. And so the same time of the year, the same groups will meet in the same areas.
You have friendships and you leave
and
them for thousands
about,
of miles and
you know,
come back.
Going not left or right, what's the word?
Clockwise
or anti-clockwise.
And there's people who go clockwise versus counterclockwise?
Exactly.
How funny.
Exactly. So you keep meeting the ones that are going in the same direction as you.
How funny. That's
and
fantastic.
Every now and then you might cross over with the others.
Is that intentional? Is that intentional when it happens that people go in those different directions?
I think so. I think I think they make a choice to go clockwise or anti-clockwise because it's a long. It's as big as this country.
Wow,
Australia.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you can sit it in America, and it's sort of pretty much takes up the same space. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a 5-hour flight from Sydney to Perth, and it's a 5-hour flight from LA to New York.
Yeah.
So it's the width, but it's one of the interesting things about Broome is, and people ask, why is there a camel on your poster? It's because there are camels in Broome quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah. So they have these classic camel rides. So these are some of the things highlighted in the story. When
you know she could totally be lying to us right now. I totally believe her. Oh, camels, all right.
You believe her because of the accent.
That's right.
Right?
I didn't know that. Camels in Australia.
It's like being British. Of course you're absolutely.
Obviously very smart. Well, now, Broome is a major city, correct? I mean, it's not the largest, of course, but it's one of the major cities.
I went to Broome 30 years ago. And I don't remember it very well, but it was not a big town. But I think it is now.
Interesting.
You know, some 30 years later, it's probably grown. I honestly don't know much about Broome now.
Now, in this show, these two couples meet, and they're from separate RVs, correct?
Yes.
And they kind
definitely.
Of...
Definitely. They're the glampers. We're the pop-up, wind-your-thing-up sort of, you know... Theirs is like major.
They have everything you could want for.
Chandelier.
Okay. Oh, my.
We're fancy.
Yeah, they're the fancy dudes, and we're the daggy dudes.
And now before we get...
Daggy? Daggy, that's such of an old-fashioned Aussie word. I just realized
daggy. I love it.
It's a bit like, what does it mean? Sort of... Bit old-fashioned, bit sort of...
Rednecky maybe would be the American equivalent?
Rednecky, but similar.
Okay, yeah, shabby, kind of shabby?
That's sort of shabby.
Interesting.
Sort of not very well educated or hip or... you know, there's sort of a little more... Not educated, no, it's not educated. I can't think of an appropriate word.
Well, hicks or and things like that in America, we would say that.
No, it's not really hicks.
Really?
I can't quite...
Is it earthy?
Not sophisticated. Not fancy.
Not sophisticated.
Okay.
It's probably...
And not fancy.
Kind of earthy, hippie sort of thing?
No.
Interesting.
No,
so it's a completely unique...
Yeah.
So that's, and I've got to figure this out now. That's pretty cool. Well, now, this is a comedy. We want to let people know that when you go to the show, from what I understand, from what I read and what I saw, you're going to be laughing a lot at this show, right?
There's a lot of laughs. There's
and
a lot of laughs.
It's a group of, obviously, people who have just recently retired from their jobs.
Yes.
And they're taking this on. And the conflict comes primarily from the differences between these two couples, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely right. Comes from their differences.
Do you know, the first time I was in Australia, I was there with the Osmonds, the Osmond family, Donnie and Marie in particular, and it was a world tour, and we were so happy to get out of the Asian part of the world, which we'd been in for a long time, and get there. We opened in Sydney, and then we played The Route, and when we were in Melbourne, and you know, it was very hard for them to even go out of the hotel because of their fame was huge at that particular time, especially Donnie and Marie. Marie was actually just coming into the act after her first big record, Paper Roses.
Now, how old was she at that point? Mm-hmm.
She was great. I mean, she's one of the loveliest women I know.
I've heard that.
And we still, you know, stay in touch. And
really? I met Donnie one time. He was so kind and just so cordial, nice man. How old was Marie at that time?
You know, she was probably, I think she's not the youngest of the family, but I think she was in her early 20s.
Okay.
Very early 20s. And the story is this. They were dying to get out into the public and just do something. So we were staying at this beautiful hotel, but I had to engineer the way out so that we could go out. And I put an evening together because across the street was her Royal Majesty's Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the correct name of that
venue? Majesty's, yes.
Her Majesty's.
I have a feeling it may have gone.
Really?
Really?
Think about that.
Wow.
That
there was
be,
something
sorry.
That happened about it. Either they renamed it or something. There's something I remember when I was just there recently. Thinking, where's Her Majesty's gone?
Well, there was a production of the Broadway musical Irene opening there, playing there. Mm-hmm. And... I had seen it in New York, and I thought, they're going to enjoy this, and especially the mom and dad who were with us on the tour. So I set this whole thing up, and I had to have all the security take us in the food and beverage elevators down to the depths of the parking, the subterranean parking of the hotel, and for cars to have gotten there much earlier that were nondescript cars, because if you see the limo, people figure things out. To just get us across the street and into the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every night and through the day, there were hundreds and hundreds of kids chanting the name of Donnie.
I know the feeling. Man, it's hard.
Marie, as I said, was just coming into the act, but it was all about Donnie. And he, up in the top of the hotel, I'd hang out with all of them, and he'd go up and wave to them and be very, very cordial. And mm-hmm. when he was tired of doing that, I waved to them, and they thought I was Donnie because that's what we did. So
that's great.
At any rate,
cool.
We get to the theater, and sure enough, these kids figured out after a bit of time that we had left the hotel and where we were, and during the middle of this musical, they ran through, they broke through the doors of the theater and screamed their way down the aisles of the audience and stopped the show for 20 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Those poor performers.
And jumping over seats, and the curtain came down, and it was the most bizarre.
How was it resolved?
The security came in and got them all out, and the actors were very, very taken aback.
Right.
And
poor performers.
Yes, but you know what? They picked up right where they left
off,
and 2 minutes into it, it was like it had never happened.
Yeah.
I know. It was very strange that anyone would react to that extent.
Yeah. That must have, he was such an icon. They all were, but he was such an icon there for so long that was really one of the first times where people were that teen idol sort of thing, and it followed him around the world.
Yes, it really did.
Yeah, you're right.
And then his great comeback after that. It's pretty cool, too. Anyway, we're taking away from Roz's wonderful life. So are you having the time of your life here in the United States? I mean, do you go home to Australia very often?
I do. I was actually just back there recently for 3 months shooting Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Wow.
In Melbourne. And I only had 12 days on it over the 3 months, so I had a lot of time to visit friends and family. And I hardly ever get to see my friends in Melbourne, because usually when I go back, I go back to Sydney, because it's my home. And it was shot in Melbourne, so I had time to visit all my friends in Melbourne and stay with my family in Sydney for some time, which is nice, because usually I fly back for a week and come back, you know.
Yeah.
Did you notice that she left the R out of Melbourne?
Somebody's got to pay for that somewhere, I'll have you know. That R was expensive.
You just picked it up. I heard
That's
it.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Roz Gentle here today about the show Grey Nomad. And this show, obviously, as we've said before, is from the Australian Theatre Company. They work in a number of different venues, correct?
They do, we're trying to find a home base.
But this particular show is at the Skylight Theatre.
This one's at the Skylight.
Skylight Theatre.
Los Feliz.
That's right. It's located at 1816 One Half North Vermont.
Yes.
Is that correct? Which I think is the funniest address of all time.
I thought so too. Exactly.
It's because it's a little door that you walk in rather than the whole front.
Well, is it little
like
as in thin, like where you have
to kind
of turn sideways?
No, it's like a barn door with an opening.
But it's a lovely space, and that's a particularly groovy neighborhood with restaurants and bars. It's a great French wine bar next door.
Great stuff to go eat after the show.
And
parking's not terrible.
No,
yeah, you're right.
One of the most comfortable seats for audiences that I've had.
In my old age, that's become more and more important. My right hip locks up one more time, I'm telling you. I took a fall on set when I was like 22, and no kidding, I can still feel it in my hip when I sit in a bad seat.
That's amazing, because that was 5 years ago for you.
Yes, exactly. It was more like 45 years ago is what it feels like, but I appreciate it. Now, this show, obviously, it plays on Mondays, which I think is so fantastic. So, ladies and gentlemen, Monday evenings, there's a performance, and that runs all the way through the last Monday of the performance, which is October 2nd, and the show runs through October 8th, correct?
Yes.
Great.
It may extend, so, you know,
wonderful.
Keep your eyes open.
Good.
Yeah. We've got the possibility to extend for a week, so just keep an eye on it.
Reserve seating is as little as $39, and general admission is $34. And for Grey Nomads, that's anybody 55 and over, you're offering a special price, which is $29. Is
now,
that correct?
Also, for this show, your show, if they put in the code MATESRATES, they will get it for $25.
Now, there's an R in that, correct?
Can you say R?
No R's in there. MATES. Oh, that R. Yes, there is an R.
Trick. Gotcha.
So let's say that one more time just so people can hear that. What is the code again?
MATES. rates.
And where will
as in, g'day, mate.
And that's one rates. Word. As one word.
Yes. As one yeah. word, yes.
And that, I believe, is on the website, AustralianTheatreCompany.org, correct?
Yes, theatre spelt with the R-E.
That's right.
Another R.
And it's true what you say about the seats being comfortable and how that becomes a priority when you get a little older. You know, now I pick restaurants based on, can I hear my friends and can I see them?
That's right.
The most important.
And what about parking? Is parking?
Oh, yes. Parking in the back, there's metered parking. There's also parking at the post office across the street. It's closed. It's metered. There's actually plenty of parking right there.
Fantastic.
And there's a lot of sort of $4 and $5 parking lots open at night.
Sure. Yeah.
Again, performances, of course, on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. But, of course, there's a special Monday performances, which I think is a great time to get out and see theaters.
Very
so
smart
many theaters
to do
are
that.
Yes. That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, you said on Monday nights.
Great.
Yeah.
Date night. Tell me one more time about that.
So that's $30 for two tickets, and it includes a glass of champagne for each of you and your friend or your date.
And what's the date for what's
I think
the
that they're it's either I think they're offering it this whole weekend, but okay. You know, if you put it in as a code, date night, okay. That'll work.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is an amazing deal. Yeah. Don't miss that. $30 for two tickets and a glass of champagne.
We have to mention that we just got a very cool thing. We are Ovation recommended.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got lots of reviews. They can check online all the reviews. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, this show certainly sounds like a laugh riot, and it's certainly a concept that I think is very appealing and that I've never heard of this tour around the Australian coast. When I retire, which will probably be never the way my career is going at this stage, but if I ever retire, I'm buying an RV and going to Australia. That sounds like a blast. It really does sound wonderful. So.
Come to the show, there's an opportunity to buy a raffle ticket that will get you that trip if you
wow.
win.
It
you
really is.
Yeah, it's the caravan. They give you the camel guide and the whole thing.
Is it so? Again,
airfare all included. Qantas is, I believe, is the sponsor.
It's worth wow. about $8,000.
And do you yeah. buy a raffle ticket
yeah,
when you go?
Three yeah. tickets.
You
for
can get it online as well.
$20. Yeah.
So you can
really?
Buy even if you haven't attended the show yet.
Yes.
Fantastic. A
and
great
the
way.
Proceeds, of course, go to the theater.
Do I have to take my children, or can I leave them here?
You can leave them here, but don't leave them alone.
Sold. I'm buying tickets right now.
Horrible image of you leaving like a bowl of water.
My daughter's 9 and she's infinitely more mature than I am, so don't worry about it. She'll be fine. They take care of me.
Well, you would love it. So that's
sounds
a great
amazing.
Deal. $20 that's bucks. Right. Yeah, you spend that on a hamburger and a Coke here.
That's right. No kidding. You would
drive through.
That's right. Hey, do you know what time it is, Michael? Do you happen to have an idea on what time it is?
I happen to have.
And now, embarrassing moments.
It's almost like you could feel it coming, Michael. My goodness. That was our entire budget there, was that one sound effect.
Yeah. It was worth it. It's
3 years worth of work, Michael, and I put in to build
fantastic.
That sound effect. The voice of God tells us it's time for embarrassing moments. And, of course, this is a bit where we ask people to tell us something that happened in their careers that might have been unusual or embarrassing that you got through, kind of to help remind our younger performers that anything can happen in live theater and things still turn out okay. Does either of you have one?
First of all, I'm impressed that you left so little time for this section. You think we don't have thousands of them.
I knew you two were perfect when you walked in. So.
I once broke a stage. Does that count? That's not good.
You're not
right?
supposed to do that.
No,
did you not know that?
I know
stage.
Now. It was a small theater. It was the Carpet Company stage on Pico Boulevard, one of the first things I did when I moved to L.A., and they built us a little platform, and it
oh,
didn't work
no.
that well, and it wasn't a comedy moment, but then it was.
Oh, no.
I entertained Marines once in a comedy club. In
okay, this is a story we could tell on the air, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
A comedy club. I guess maybe entertained wasn't the right word to use. But I think the biggest thing that I would say is I did a production called Breakfast with the Middlemans. It was a comedy
wow.
show, sketch comedy show with my former husband, Steve Middleman, comedian Steve Middleman. And we were in Florida, and everybody in the audience was, you know, the average age, what did they say, dead people and their parents was who was in the audience. And we said, you know, everybody has a hearing aid on, and they say, as a comic, you come on and go, hi, how are you? And the audience actually responded. They would say, what did she say? Or
oh,
I'm in condition,
no.
or my back is killing me. They start screaming at you. So after 20 minutes of that, you have to get back to the show. But the thing was about that show was, and this is sort of a bright thing happens a lot with comedy teams, especially married ones, is we were a laugh riot on stage and backstage not so much fun. And that comedy show, we'd get huge laughs on stage, fight backstage, and
wow.
he's a good guy, but we're no longer married. Just put it that way. So, yeah.
I did it.
My goodness. Raj, you got anything for us?
I think I once was, this is when I was about 26, I was playing Snow White and in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And
oh, sure.
We were
I wouldn't have thought you were one of the dwarfs.
And we had to travel from Sydney to Perth, and on the day we were about to leave, they had the first ever airline strike.
Oh, no.
So we had to bus it because I had never done the show.
You should have gotten an RV.
This is exactly. This is a show that used to be done every 7 years. It would circuit. It's very like this.
Wow.
This whole
and it all comes back around here in State of the Arts.
They run around every 7 years because the children change around that time.
Wow.
So we had to go quickly because I was going there to do the week's rehearsal with everyone else. Because they'd all done it, so
sure.
I was the one they were rehearsing in. So we had to travel for 3 days instead, across and by bus, straight across, 3 days, two nights, nonstop with two drivers to get there. And we would shower in these little places in the middle of the desert, sort of, you know.
And who were you traveling baths. With specifically?
With seven dwarfs, three drunken musicians, a gay prince. And a wild king.
In other words, the normal.
The normal.
So exactly. A theater crowd.
Exactly. But when we got there, they all said, don't worry, Roz, we'll rehearse. We had 1 day to rehearse. And they said, don't worry, we'll just move you around the stage. Well, I got on the stage for the first performance.
Oh, no.
I held their hands, because I stand in the middle
sure.
of them at the beginning of it. They were shaking like leaves.
Oh, no.
They were terrified. And I thought, you guys are supposed to look up.
Right.
So I just had to take control, and I just sort of moved around that stage as if I knew exactly what I was doing. I had no idea. But they were so nervous, and they were supposed to be looking up to me. It was crazy. We got off the bus all looking like a piece of shit, and they were taking photos of the new thing coming to town.
I have this image of you surrounded by trembling dwarves. Now.
Trembling dwarves.
But that's when I first went to Broome with Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Funny, man.
I would have gone to Broome, too.
Right.
Wow.
So we went up and down the West Australian coast with that little busload of...
And Mr. Lee has his next topic for his next show. We're ready to rock and roll.
the sequel.
That's right.
In all of this, we never got to mention our wonderful director, Ian Sinclair. Well, we didn't mention
him.
But
well,
yes.
We did.
But
yes. I said it by the wrong...
he really developed... This was a piece in development, and Ian really pulled this
and
into shape. It was
really
extraordinary.
Exactly.
Just
great dramaturging in addition to direction. And he and Dan both flew in for the opening. We worked with
they
them.
They did?
They both,
oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
He came in for 3 weeks to sort of do seven works a week in about 4 weeks and
good.
Sort of, and we got it all done, and then they flew back. So now they're getting reports. They send them videos of us shoot on stage, and then we get notes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I hope they can hear the show, this show,
yes.
In Australia. Mm,
that's right.
Oh, great.
Fabulous.
Lucy took care of notifying them.
And of course, you have two gentlemen in the cast with you as well, correct? The
yes.
gentlemen play your counterparts. What are their names?
David Ross Patterson
and Paul Tassoni.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because David is her plays her husband, Jim. And just to keep it confusing, my husband's character's name is Tim. Tim.
Yes.
Tim and Jim.
Tim and Jim.
Which we
great.
Often get confused on stage.
They're great. They're really great and great to work with.
Well, it sounds like a great show. And obviously, again, the name of the show is Grey Nomad. If people want to look that up very quickly, they can. Grey Nomad.
Yeah, that's right. And that would be, of course, on the Australian Theatre Company.org website. Check it out. It sounds like a wonderful evening. And as we've said, go out early, have some dinner in the area at some of their wonderful restaurants in Los Feliz there, and have a great night of theater.
That's right. We definitely encourage you to check out Grey Nomad. It sounds like a laugh riot. Yes, Wendy?
We have a pair of free tickets to give away to one of your listeners.
Oh, my.
Well, yes, we do.
Shall we do that on Facebook? Would you like to do that on the Facebook giveaway?
We should, great. Or we can do it by email.
Well, so this is obviously a fantastic show. I think Facebook will be easier
okay.
for us to manage right now.
Yeah.
So we'll go
you
ahead and do
Grey
this.
You find Grey Nomad on the Australian Theatre Company
Facebook page.
Presents Grey Nomad or Australian Theatre Company on their page. You will see all about.
Roz, what's your favorite single digit number? Of all the single digit numbers you know, what's your favorite?
Yes. All three.
That's it. We're taking Facebook message number 3 on our Facebook account, and we will give you a pair of tickets. Is that correct?
Yes.
A pair of tickets to see Grey Nomad. Again, that's a $60 value, I believe, more than that even. Mm-hmm. And maybe, if you're lucky, you can enter that contest and win a trip to Australia, and then you can promote State of the Arts while you're over there,
exactly.
which I think would be a very important part of your trip. So
there is an opportunity online to purchase raffle tickets for the trip?
Online, yes, at
on
the Australian Theatre Company.
Right.
.org
exactly.
website.
Perfect.
So we've told you a lot about Grey Nomad, which is going to be a fantastic mm-hmm. show. Also, Tribes at the
yes.
Chance Theatre. Of course, Young Frankenstein. at three. I'm not a Frankenstein. I am a Frankenstein. It's obviously a great show with 3D Theatricals. That's all of their amazing work. And a little night music going on at the Colony Theater, I believe,
all
this weekend.
Coming up very soon.
Lots of good stuff.
Ladies, thank you so much. You've brightened
thank
our
you.
Day.
Truly a pleasure to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Best wishes with this show. It's going to be a great performance.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Michael, always a pleasure to sit across from you for a little bit. Can you tell me where I'll see you next week?
You bet. On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.